Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to be here to bring you a talk that it's a topic I really like to talk about because it's a topic that you need to know about, and you need to know the really amazing healing properties of vitamin C beyond just, you know, take it if you feel like a cold is coming on and things like that. There is so much research. I could talk for days about this, and I've been reading an amazing almost 500 page book called Curing the Incurable that is all about vitamin C. There is so much research and so much evidence, and I'm excited to present to you at least a starting point of it today. So let's begin. This is a quote from the book that is called Curing the Incurable, Vitamin C, Infectious Diseases, and Toxins. And it's by Thomas Levy, MD. He's also a lawyer. And he wrote, to date, no infectious diseases, and it's his emphasis, no infectious diseases have been found in which vitamin C administration is dangerous or inappropriate. That is a really strong statement. And there's a lot of controversy about vitamin C in the standard medical community. And there's a lot of medical people who are strictly into the pharmaceutical allopathic model that poo-poo the use of a vitamin to help such important things as infectious diseases. Yet the evidence is so, so dramatic. And what Levy talks a lot about is that in the medical system, and he's part of it, there is a lot of blind defense for the processes, the modalities that they've been using for a long time. They don't want to see any evidence. They will turn their backs on evidence that what they've been doing is wrong. And while that's, you know, I can understand that from a human perspective. We don't want to feel like, oh my gosh, I've been barking up the wrong tree. I've been using the wrong tools to try to help my patients get well. Because it can put you in a state of feeling bad or guilty or inadequate. But on the other hand, this is a growing science. And the attitude that makes a lot more sense is not like blindly following what we've been following at the risk of admitting that you've been wrong, but embracing, like, wow, okay, we've been barking up the wrong tree, and now we have some amazing tools to make it even better. And embracing that. And that's the line that is between those that move into more of an integrative, holistic approach and those that stay with their tried and true, according to them, allopathic approach. He quoted that a very large percentage of doctors will not use anything to help their patients that's not in their textbooks. And what we know about textbooks is textbooks are generally a decade or more behind the times because of the time it takes to be able to put a textbook together. Yet the medical studies are amazing. There's huge numbers of them. According to Dr. Levy in the book, the Curing the Incurable, he talks about there are over, as of 2002, when he did an exhaustive look to see all the studies that had been there about vitamin C, there were over 24,000. And according to him, there is at least one new one being published every single day. So 2002 to 2014, we're looking at 12 years. And if 365 times 12, you do the math, that's a lot of new studies to be added to that, all about vitamin C, and sometimes there's more. He said as early as 1936, a Dr. King published a study which was an early review of all the literature on vitamin C, and he had 169 references back then. So clearly, this is an important therapeutic tool. It's an important vitamin that we can incorporate and optimize in our diets to help us to prevent, and I dare I say the word cure. He says curing, I will say overcoming, reversing, balancing our bodies so that we no longer have these diseases. And I'll give you a list later of all the diseases that he's found studies related to and found in his own personal work to be useful for. It's very much overlooked. And, you know, when doctors take an oath, they say, first do no harm. It's part of their Hippocratic oath. And they all say that, first do no harm, meaning my goal is to keep my patients safe, and I'm not going to use any therapeutic means that causes them to be in danger. Now, a lot of practitioners, allopathic conventional practitioners, will say, well, that's the reason they don't use vitamin C, because they're not convinced that it's safe. Really, in my humble opinion, I think that the reason that vitamin C has been ignored substantially by allopathic communities, even though there's profound evidence that it can be helpful in a major number, large number of conditions, is that it threatens the pharmaceutical industry. It threatens the use of antibacterial agents and antiviral agents. It threatens the use of things that can be handled pharmaceutically, that vitamin C would basically put an end to the need for those pharmaceuticals. And again, this is my opinion, and everything here is stated as my opinion and not intended to be a replacement for a medical evaluation. But I will say that by the end of this presentation, you're going to be able to effectively use vitamin C as your ally and friend in keeping you and your family healthy. You're going to be able to identify great sources of vitamin C and use them in your meals on a regular basis. And you're going to be able to locate additional resources on vitamin C when needed for you or a family member or a client or patient to help in the recovery of serious disease. So before I begin and say too much more, I just want to reiterate that what I'm putting out here today is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare practitioner. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm sharing information from my research and the research of those doctors that I've studied under. You need to take that and use it as you will, and consult with a practitioner, especially if you're on any medication, before you go off any medication. Make sure you do your research, do your homework. But seriously, there's a lot of great information here, and I encourage you to do further study with it. So let's take a look at some of the uses of vitamin C. How can you use vitamin C to help you with your own body and to help support your clients, your family members, your friends when they're having difficulties? So the first thing that vitamin C does is it improves your immune system. It's a potent antioxidant, meaning that it scavenges up electrons and it helps to decrease the what we call rusting that happens in the system as a result of oxidation. So it's important for the immune system in that regard. It's also important for the immune system in that it supports these little white blood cells called macrophages. And what I like to think about macrophages is they're like Pac-Man in the old game or in some of the computer games where you just see these little critters and they gobble up the bad guys. Well, macrophages are part of your immune system, part of the white blood cell system that go around and gobble up the bad guys in your system. Vitamin C improves the functioning of those macrophages. In fact, it's been shown that taking a dose of sugar decreases the effectiveness of those macrophages, and vitamin C helps to increase the effectiveness of that. So if you put together a diet that's low in vitamin C and not supplemented with extra or not focusing on large quantities of vitamin C in the food, as is the standard American diet, which is just so heavily processed that there's very little vitamin C left, if you combine that with the high intake of sugar, you leave people open with a very faulty immune system that cannot protect themselves from bacteria and viruses and other microbes. So the other thing that vitamin C can do for you is combat infection. Vitamin C has been used in extraordinarily large quantities, both oral and IV, and we'll talk later about the administration of vitamin C in order to combat infections. And Dr. Levy, in his book, gives us a long list. He actually has a chapter on each of these conditions. Are you ready to hear some of the conditions that vitamin C can be effective for? Polio. polio. That's considered like, you know, super, super important to get an immunization for. It's a very serious disease. But he says within 7 days, let me see what the note, my notes say. Yeah, in less than a week, he can have people completely cured of polio with the right dose of vitamin C. Viral hepatitis, especially acute onset hepatitis. Again, acute onset hepatitis, less than a week, can be eradicated with high enough uses of vitamin C. He has a whole chapter on that. The measles, right? We are, all these things are diseases where people are getting immunized to help them overcome. Well, vitamin C can do the trick. There's no need for the immunizations with the side effects of the immunizations, including affecting kids in their detoxification mechanisms and in the susceptible, creating the breeding ground for autism. So combating infection is huge. And these things that are preventable via vitamin C that we're giving immunizations for, the use of vitamin C threatens the pharmaceutical companies. It threatens their ability to sell vaccines. So let's talk about some of the things that we inoculate for that can also be helped. Measles, mumps, we talked about hepatitis, chicken pox, and influenza. How many people have been told, oh, you've got to get your flu shot, especially if you're older. Especially not if you're older, because you're more susceptible to the problems that come from immunizations in people with depleted immune systems. Vitamin C can help these things. Another one, viral encephalitis, which is an inflammation, infection in the brain. Vitamin C to the rescue. What else? Pneumonia. How many people are put on antibiotics at the first sign of phlegm in their lungs? Pneumonia. Rabies. You know, rabies is another one with immunizations, or get your rabies shot and your booster shot. AIDS, imagine that. High enough doses of vitamin C have been effectively used in AIDS. And he's got a 11-page chapter all about AIDS. The common cold, a lot of you are familiar with that. First sign of cold, you start dosing up the vitamin C. Other ones, Ebola viruses, diphtheria. It's another one that we immunize for. Pertussis, another one that we immunize for, and which immunization is especially challenging for people, especially dangerous. Tetanus, right? We think about tetanus. You have to have your tetanus shot. Tuberculosis, strep, streptococcal, strep throat, right? And antibiotics are always prescribed for that. Vitamin C to the rescue. Leprosy, these are serious diseases. Thyroid, malaria, brucellosis, and trichinosis. These are all conditions that he's showing us evidence for vitamin C helping. Now, I'm not telling you that if you have any of these conditions that you should just take some vitamin C and hope for the best. There's a very specifically, he talks about you've got to use the right form of vitamin C. You've got to use the proper technique of administration. You've got to take it frequently enough. You've got to take high enough dosages. And there are some additional agents that can be used along with vitamin C, and you have to take it long enough. Some of those additional agents that I've found to be effective are other minerals like zinc and magnesium, and other vitamins like vitamin A and D. The combination of vitamin A, D, and E for viral hepatitis has been shown to be quite profound. So it's all those things need to be taken into account. It doesn't mean that if you take a 100-milligram vitamin C capsule a couple of times a day, that that's going to get you over these diseases. In some cases, the doses have been as high as in the several hundred grams. Several hundred grams, okay? So if you figure that your average vitamin C capsule is 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams. That's either half a gram or a whole gram. 200 grams is the equivalent of like 2 bottles of vitamin C in a day. So obviously you're not going to be taking it in capsule form. It's just not going to be appropriate that way. We'll talk about the ways that you can be taking it. Okay. In addition, let's just look at some other things. Vitamin C is a good antihistamine. Okay, what if everybody got on to the fact that vitamin C, especially when combined with quercetin, a bioflavonoid that in a lot of foods naturally occurs with vitamin C, that it can actually eradicate the histamines associated with allergies. I've had people who I've worked with who have had really, really raging allergy problems, just like dripping all the time, taking Claritin, not having great results. Some of them even taking steroids during what we call cedar fever season here in Austin and not getting the results. And put them on bowel tolerance doses of vitamin C, and we'll talk about what that means in a little while. Put them on bowel tolerance vitamin C with a combination of quercetin and, of course, putting them on a good diet, getting off the junk, and had them just soar through the allergy season. No problem. I've had this over and over. So there's a lot of stuff that can be said here. So antihistamine, vitamin C, if you're starting to sniffle and sneeze and have this stuff, get on bowel tolerance doses of vitamin C and see what happens. Vitamin C can also reduce inflammation. So joint inflammation that causes pain, muscle inflammation, inflammation as a result of injury, post-surgery inflammation, vitamin C is awesome. When I had to have surgery on my broken elbow and had to have the bone put back in the right place, I was taking massive doses of vitamin C over the course of the couple of weeks after the surgery. And it was remarkable how little inflammation I had as a result of that. I've used it with other people with all kinds of inflammation. And I remember having somebody call me up at 10 o'clock in the morning. I have a date at noon and I just did something and it caused hives and I'm all inflamed and red, and what do you suggest? And I said, I would say 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C at least every half hour. And then I told her to put some coconut oil and flax oil on top of it for the omega-3s. Oh my God, within a short period of time, she said, I can't believe it. I was able to keep my date. It wasn't all broken out in hives. I've had it happen where my son has gotten a bee sting and we just immediately load him up with vitamin C. You can do vitamin C orally. You can also do it as poultices. You can also pack an area, like I've done it for gum infections where I've packed the area. Amazing substance for reducing inflammation. Of course, in conjunction with other things, like I'll always use vitamin C for inflammation in conjunction with things like ginger and turmeric and quercetin. Vitamin C participates in making adrenaline. It's required for an enzyme that converts dopamine into norepinephrine and epinephrine, which are basically adrenaline. So people that are under a lot of stress use up a lot of vitamin C. The adrenal glands use more vitamin C than any other part of the body. So if you're under a lot of stress and producing a lot of adrenaline and cortisol, you're using up your vitamin C. What else? Vitamin C helps with iron uptake and iron absorption. Typically, iron is not very well absorbed from foods. When you combine the iron with vitamin C, you get a dramatic increase in the amount of iron that's brought up. Vitamin C also heals connective tissue. Whoa, that's pretty cool. What's connective tissue? Well, connective tissue are the ligaments and the collagen areas, the musculature. So if you've had an injury, so for example, the other reason that the vitamin C was so important for me post-surgery is that my body had to heal the area. I needed to have good collagen support. I needed to be able to build bone and build back the damaged ligaments and muscle endings and tendons. Vitamin C to the rescue, huge quantities. I wish I had been able to get some IV vitamin C because that would have sped up the process. It's a little bit more difficult to find a doctor who will administer IV vitamin C. They are available, but they're not that easy to find. So what else does vitamin C do? Well, as I said when I talked about the immune system, it's a potent antioxidant. It helps to scavenge free radicals. And we know that all of our metabolic process produce oxidative byproducts. The mitochondria, when they work to produce your energy, they produce free radicals and oxidative byproducts. Well, vitamin C to the rescue. It goes in there and it acts as an antioxidant, along with other very potent antioxidants like glutathione and superoxide dismutase and catalase. What else? Well, it aids in wound healing. In addition to the collagen being an important part of your connective tissue and your healing of bones and tendons and ligaments, if you've got a wound, say you've broken open, you've fallen and scraped open a piece of tissue, or you've had some sort of a rash that's caused open wounds on your system, vitamin C is really potent for that. Vitamin C is mostly used internally, but can also be made into a paste and put on top of a wound, assuming the wound is not too far open where the acid in the vitamin C affects it. Vitamin C is actually ascorbic acid, so it is an acid, so using it topically can be uncomfortable in some cases. Vitamin C has been shown to be improving cardiovascular strength. It's important for some of the enzymes that strengthen your blood vessels and your heart. Vitamin C has been major in cancer, both prevention and reversal. There are docs that use IV vitamin C to help people who have cancer. And it's really remarkable the kinds of things that I've read about. Now, again, it's high-dose vitamin C. Remember when my brother-in-law was dying just a couple of years ago, and he had had lung cancer. He'd gone through the typical things, the radiation and then the chemo to shrink the tumor, and then he had surgery. And after the surgery, he developed an infection, and he was in the hospital. And my sister begged me to come out there and talk to the doctors to try to get them to give him IV vitamin C. I brought in mounds of evidence to show people with exactly his type of condition that had been saved, whose condition had reversed. And they fought with me. They were concerned about him getting a kidney stone if we gave him high-dose vitamin C. First of all, it's a myth that people will develop kidney stone unless they've already have kidney damage. There have been studies after study after study that shows that it's really not going to promote kidney stones in most people. But my point was, you said he's going to be dead in a week if we don't have anything more to do for him. Would you rather him be dead and prevent a kidney stone? Or would you rather him stay alive and then deal with the kidney stone? And they just didn't have an answer, so they decided that they would give it a try. And unfortunately, it was too little, too late. They gave him, get this, you're going to just fall on your face after the doses I've talked to you about before. They gave him 500 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day. That's the amount that's in most kids' vitamins. Kids' vitamins. You cannot reverse cancer. You cannot heal an infection with 500 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day. I would have preferred to see him get at least 50,000 50 grams of vitamin C. So it was 500 milligrams is what they gave him, which is half a gram. I would have liked to see him get 50 or 25 four times a day, at least. It's crazy. And there's mounds and mounds of study that support this. It's all in this book by Dr. Levy. Transport of fat into cells for ATP. So this is an important one that most people don't think about vitamin C for. There's a substance, an amino acid called carnitine, and carnitine helps to transport fat into the cells. Well, vitamin C is a required cofactor for carnitine to be able to shuttle the fat into the cells. So vitamin C can give people more energy. So this is a list of some of the things that have been done. It's also a good against toxins. So if somebody has heavy metals or they've been exposed to pesticides, here are some of the toxins and drug side effects that are reported in this book, in Dr. Levy's book. It helps against alcohol poisoning. Alcohol, as we know, in excess drains your system of an enzyme called alcohol dehydrogenase. And if we don't have enough of that, we get very toxic, very, very toxic byproducts of alcohol. Barbiturates, carbon monoxide, endotoxin, which is a specific type of toxin produced from the walls of bacteria that are inside the body. there's a chapter he has called 51 Miscellaneous Toxins, Mushroom Poisoning, 6 Different Kinds of Pesticides, Radiation, Strychnine and Tetanus, and then he has a chapter on 9 toxic elements, venoms, and that's it. So we're going to look at some of these and just going to give you an idea of some of these toxins that vitamin C can help to neutralize. So are you ready? Here's a few of them. Acetaminophen, which is like Tylenol, and we know that it can be fatal if overdosed. Vitamin C can help in acute overtoxicity. Go to some of the others. Let's see. Aflatoxin. We've heard about that as being problematic in raw peanuts, which is why you shouldn't be eating raw peanuts. Aromatic hydrocarbons. Benzene. Carbon tetrachloride. Let's see. Chloroform. I'm just picking out some highlights. Cyanide. Cyclosporine. Digoxin. Halogenated ethers. You get the picture. All of these have had methylmalonic acid, which is produced when you have not enough vitamin B12. Morphine, nitrates, nitrites in bacon and things like that. All of these are toxins that have been shown to be affected by doses of vitamin C in acute poisoning of these. So imagine the protective effects of vitamin C in the chronic exposure to these types of things. What else? I'm going to read a few more for you. So we heard about toxic metals, and a lot of you have probably been tested or heard about testing for chronic heavy metal poisoning. Well, some of the metals that vitamin C can help detoxify against: mercury. He's got like 6 pages on mercury. Lead. I have a patient right now who's getting IV dose of vitamin C and to help get the lead out of her system because she has high dose lead. What else? There's pages and pages. Arsenic. Let's see. Aluminum. Okay, we've heard about aluminum being problematic in people with Alzheimer's. Vitamin C. Venoms of various snakes and things. So vitamin C is this just amazing nutrient. It's amazing powerhouse, and it's so overlooked. It's criminal, in my opinion. So I've given you a chart. This is from a site called The World's Healthiest Foods, whfoods.com. It's an awesome resource because you can look up any nutrient on there and get a list of the top foods. I've just put the top dozen here. The rest of them, you wouldn't be able to read the page if I put all of them on the page, but it tells you how much vitamin C is in a variety of different foods. We've got papaya. One papaya has, where are we looking? 168 milligrams. Now, here's one thing about vitamin C that's kind of laughable. The recommended daily allowance is 60 milligrams. Why is it 60 milligrams? It's 60 milligrams because that's the amount of vitamin C that's needed to prevent scurvy. And scurvy is a disease that comes from lack of vitamin C, where your collagen just falls apart, your connective tissue just falls apart. That's all that is. If you want optimal health, if you want to be able to protect yourself against environmental toxins and pesticides and bacterial exposures and mold exposures, way more than that is needed. So this gives you a list of some of the other foods other than oranges. Everybody thinks oranges are the best, and one medium orange has about 70 milligrams of vitamin C, which is a little bit above the RDA. But look at all the things that come above it. You know, broccoli. A cup of broccoli. How many of you eat more than a cup of broccoli a day? I certainly do. When I eat broccoli, I'm eating 4 or 5 cups at a time. Lots of vitamin C. They don't list your green leafy vegetables except for the bok choy down there. A cup of bok choy is not very much, especially if you're making a green smoothie. Kale. Look at kale. Kale's on that list. Cauliflower. And there's another long list. I just cut it down so I could fit it on the slide. But if you go to the link that's at the bottom of the slide, this WH Foods page, it gives you the entire list and talks more about vitamin C. It's a great resource. So let's see. You can't read these herbs and spices, but I wanted you to show you that there were a lot. And the link is down at the bottom, and that's from something called thirdage.com. And then there's a whole long link. just you copy and paste that link in, and or click it if you open up the slide presentation that we've given you. But here's a close-up of it. You can see the top 12. Look at these things. Your spices. You can get substantial amounts of vitamin C in just a little bit of spices. And I believe that this is, I'm not sure, it doesn't say how much of the spices here, but on that page it'll give you more details. But things like coriander, dried coriander is actually cilantro, thyme, parsley, dill, saffron, cloves, cayenne pepper, rosemary, marjoram, tarragon, dill, and thyme. These are the ones at the top of the list. There's lots more in that list. You can go to the site and get more. But these are things that you can be throwing into smoothies and soups and stews and salads and just using them liberally to get you vitamin C, especially now during the cold and flu season, to protect yourself. Phenomenal sources of vitamin C, and you'll see these in the natural vitamins, right? So you can get vitamin C as vitamin C ascorbic acid. You can get vitamin C as buffered ascorbate or sodium ascorbate, calcium ascorbate, different types of ascorbate, meaning that it's vitamin C with a buffering agent of a mineral to prevent it from being so acidic and being much less harsh on your system. It makes it much less harsh. Now you can also get natural forms of vitamin C in capsules and tablets and powders. These are not going to be quite as potent in terms of doses, so may not be as effective in the really like severe cases where you need to use it pharmacologically. But in cases of just preventative and keeping your body healthy and strong and getting plenty of vitamin C, some of these are phenomenal. So I've put pictures so you can identify, but you'll see rose hips in a lot of different things, and you can buy them Mountain Rose Herbs, mountainroseherbs.com, for like $10 a pound. And you can put these in teas. You can grind them up and put them into smoothies and various things. Camu camu, the South American berry. And it's basically a very, very high in vitamin C, and quite a number of the natural vitamin C supplements will have camu camu. Some of them only have camu camu, and you can get just powdered camu camu. So that's what that looks like. You're not going to get it fresh unless you're down in South America. Amla. Amla is an Ayurvedic herb. It's part of the triphala, which is helpful for digestion. And amla is a super potent source of vitamin C. Again, you're not going to get amla berries fresh here in the United States, but if you make a trip to India, you might find some amla. But you can find it in powdered form and in capsule form. Acerola cherry, you've heard of that. It's a specific type of cherry that's especially high in vitamin C. Your average garden variety cherries that you can get at the grocers in the summer months here, those also have good source of vitamin C, but the acerola cherry is a lot higher, and you're able to get it in powdered form and in capsule form as well. Goji berries. Now these are fresh, they're plump, they're yummy, they're juicy. We don't get them fresh here because, again, they come from China. They come from high up in the mountains in China. But we can get them dried. And there's a brand called from Dragon Herbs that's especially good because they're not as dry as a lot of the goji berries. Like a lot of the goji berries, you try to chew on them and they're very, very, they're dry. They're not that appealing. But these are very soft and moist and very good source of vitamin C, as well as a lot of other nutrients. So when you get the whole food forms, you're getting all the other nutrients that are packaged in along with the vitamin C. And these are foods that you can get. You can get them as powders and put them in your smoothies. You can get the goji berries and put them on salads and blend them into your smoothies or chew on them and eat them as snacks. There's lots of ways to incorporate these foods to get additional bumps of vitamin C. So how do you incorporate it? Well, if you drink smoothies, then you can incorporate vitamin C in the foods that you put in those smoothies. You can give it a bump by adding powdered vitamin C or adding some acerola cherry powder or goji berries, lots of things. If you're not doing smoothies, I highly encourage you to do green smoothies, high green, lots of greens, not so much on the fruit side, with just some of those high vitamin C fruits. You can make a papaya green smoothie, you know, a tropical green smoothie with papaya and pineapple loaded with vitamin C, as long as your blood sugar can manage that. Some people can't do it because it makes their blood sugars go up too much. So sauces, you can easily incorporate a lot of those spices I talked to you about and some of the greens and make sauces. I love to take some things like that and make sauces. And in our Vital Healing Kitchen show for this month, we're going to go through lots of different ways that you can incorporate these into the foods, and I'll demonstrate that for you. I love to blend high vitamin C foods in soups. One of the things I love is broccoli, cauliflower, kale, and cabbage, slightly steamed and blended up with the water, which has all of the nutrients in it, and put that in the blender and add some spices. And some of the spices I like to add are naturally high in vitamin C, like cayenne and cumin and turmeric and things like that. You can make salad dressings. Salad dressings don't have to be the oil and vinegar type or just the ranch type. There's so many options for getting vitamin C into your salad dressings by blending up some of the high vitamin C vegetables or some of the high vitamin C fruits even, and also adding a lot of those vitamin C spices. Nut milks, you can do nut milks and then spice them up, make a chai nut milk. All those chai spices are loaded with vitamin C. You can make a nut milk and just add powdered vitamin C to it. You can flavor it with goji berry powder, acerola cherry powder, or any of those yummy, delicious vitamin C foods. In your salads themselves, all those leaves are loaded and brimming, and you can slice up little bits of pineapple or papaya or mango that are high in vitamin C, or tomatoes, which are high in vitamin C for a more low glycemic version. And then elixirs. You've heard me talk about elixirs if you've been following me for a while. If you're new, I would highly recommend go back to the adrenal class that we did in the Vital probably over the summer, so a few months back, or probably 6 or 8 months ago. Just look in the index and you'll see that I've given you recipes for elixirs and demonstrations of making elixirs. We'll use the lists of the herbs and spices in this presentation to add to the elixirs and really, really support your system with vitamin C. So that's the way we do it food-wise. Now, what about therapeutic uses of vitamin C? I highly recommend that everybody focus on getting a lot of vitamin C-rich foods and herbs and spices in their diet on a regular basis. But what if you have some sort of a health condition? What if you have chronic allergies or inflammation or cancer or some sort of infectious disease? You may need more. And there's a way to determine bowel tolerance of vitamin C by doing something called the vitamin C flush. And then you supplement with buffered vitamin C orally. I'll tell you a little story about this. And I've given you a link to a paper where you can get the exact instructions on how to do this vitamin C flush for yourself. Now, if you read the vitamin C flush and you say, oh, I don't know if I can do that, because it kind of requires that you have a morning or a day that you're not planning to go anywhere that you can actually do this testing. One of the ways that you can do it is just to continue to add 1 extra gram of vitamin C every day until you get to the point where your bowels are starting to feel like a little bit gassy or a little bit have a little bit of diarrhea, and then you back off. And that will give you your bowel tolerance dose. When you take your bowel tolerance dose, it's your body's way of saying, I've had enough, flush the rest away. So it's hard to overdose on vitamin C. What happens if you take more than your body needs is you poop it away. And if you pay attention to that, you'll lower your dose such that you're just below the tolerance level where you're going to poop out the excess. So if when we say bowel tolerance, what that means is take enough vitamin C so that you're right before your bowel tolerance, so that if you were to take one more increment, that you would have the effect on your bowels. When you take that bowel tolerance dose, you're giving your body all the vitamin C it needs to fix and repair things that are broken, to support the immune system, to snuff out free radicals and oxidative damage in the body, to heal you from infectious diseases. So I highly recommend that you take a look at that document, and if you feel encouraged to do that, do it. If not, just, and you have some sort of a chronic ongoing condition, whether it's adrenal burnout or a thyroid condition or joint pain and inflammation or some sort of itis condition in your body, then go ahead and give the vitamin C flush a try. The story I wanted to tell was that over the years, I've had thousands of people I've encouraged to do this vitamin C flush. And up until just a couple of months ago, the person that had the largest dose of my clients was about 25 or 30 grams, meaning it was at 30 grams where their body just said flush enough. And before that, when I first heard about this, was from a Dr. Cathcart, who was in California. I met him at a conference years ago when I was still living in California. And he told me about his experience with vitamin C, where he'd heard about, you know, how Linus Pauling talked about bowel tolerance. He'd been having chronic allergies and chronic sinus infections, and he decided he'd try it. So he started taking the vitamin C, and his bowel tolerance was 60 grams. That's a lot of vitamin C. So the way that you would take 60 grams is basically you put your full dose for the day into all the drinking water that you're going to take that day, or the smoothies or the drinks. You put it in your food and take it, because you're going to be sipping it throughout the day. It's hard to take it in three doses. That would be ridiculous. So he started doing that, and lo and behold, within a week, his allergies were gone, and within a couple months, all the chronic infections that he'd been having, the chronic sinus problems, were completely gone. But the funny thing that he had told me was, every time he tried to lower that dose, what happened for him was that he'd start to get the symptoms back and he'd raise it again. Now, that was, you know, 17 years ago when I spoke to him. It may be different now. I haven't spoken to him recently. But I read, he was quoted in the book, The Curing the Incurable, by Dr. Levy. And he said that, according to Dr. Cathcart, let's see, find my page where I wrote those notes down. He has had 11,000 patients taking between 4,000 and 200,000 milligrams of vitamin C orally. That's between 4 and 200 grams. It's a lot of vitamin C. A lot of vitamin C, with phenomenal results. He's given it to AIDS patients, and a dose of about 125,000 seems to be the average that helps them. He's had no reported incidences of kidney stones. That's in 11,000 patients. Out of that, 3 got a light rash. 6 of them had mild pain on urination. A lot more of them had chronic urinary tract infections cured. And he basically has not seen any issues with anything more serious than that. He's kept them on these doses from anywhere from 2.5 to 15.5 months with no adverse effects, the side effect being vibrant health, that the people are feeling phenomenal. Now, there are a few contraindications to high dose vitamin C, but they are very few. If someone already has kidney stones, vitamin C in large doses will convert to oxalic acid and will stress the kidney to get rid of it. So if somebody already has kidney stones, you want to proceed with caution. And also, there's a few genetic diseases, something called glucose 6-phosphate deficiency. They don't have the ability to break down the vitamin C and eliminate the excess, and they can have problems. But other than that, I mean, this is a huge number of cases. Dr. Levy also talked to other docs, 100 different doctors, and some of them were using up to 300,000 milligrams per day and getting phenomenal results. So I'll tell you, my story was, I recently was talking, one of my patients is had chronic adrenal fatigue for a long time, and we've been working on her, but she's just not getting there. And I said, you got to do this vitamin C flush. You got to do it and see what the dose is that you need, because it can make a huge difference. So she did the vitamin C flush. The first time she did it, she got up to 85 grams, and it was the end of the day, and she just, nothing happened. So she waited another week or two. She did it again. She got up to over 100. She was getting close to 150 grams. That's a lot of vitamin C. So she's been trying to get that, but I want to find out more about how they're getting their patients to do it, because she just says she'll go and she'll do it and she'll do it, and by the end of the day, she just feels nauseous at the thought of drinking that vitamin C water. So she's been able to get, you know, between 50 and 100 grams. But she's a case where I'd really like to get her some IV vitamin C. So let's move on to IV vitamin C. Oh, and by the way, when you do that, you're going to be taking powder versus capsules, because who wants to take 100 capsules a day? And you want it to be buffered. Otherwise, it can really do a number on your teeth enamel and your stomach, the mucous membrane in your digestive tract. So that's the way that the average person, you or I, you know, just not going to any allopathic MD or MD that does IV vitamin C. So the next piece is IV, and IV meaning intravenous, that it's shot right into your system, and it's either a push, which means that a lot of it's pushed in quickly, or it's a drip, which means you're sitting there for about 3 hours having the vitamin C slowly dripped in. IV vitamin C can be miraculous. While you can get people to take a couple hundred thousand grams a day of vitamin C orally, it's challenging, it's uncomfortable, and the IV can do numbers. The problem with the IV is it's expensive. You have to go to a doctor's office and you have to be there for a few hours, and it's time consuming, and you have to have it administered, but it can be miraculous. I had one patient I was working with, she went to get vitamin C. She had a chronic inflammatory muscular condition, and I thought that the vitamin C IV would be helpful for her. She said the office was down a flight of steps, and she kind of, you know, hobbled her way down the steps. She was moving very slowly because of the pain and because of her fatigue. She went in, and 3 hours later, she came out after her IV vitamin C, and she said she practically ran up those stairs. And she went shopping afterwards because she felt so good. It can be miraculous. I have another patient now that's getting it for heavy metals and also for cataracts. Her ophthalmologist, who's a progressive ophthalmologist, an alternative ophthalmologist, recommended that she get the vitamin C for the cataracts. So she's starting to see better, and we'll see how it goes with that. When you get the IV, you bypass getting irritated stomach, because some people, even at their bowel tolerance, at once they get to really close to it, they just start to feel a little funny in the tummy. Another way to get it is intramuscular, which is an injection. It's kind of the typically when we think about getting an injection at a physician's office, it's shot, it's just injected into the muscle. And then the last one is liposomal. So what does that mean, liposomal? That's another one that we have access to without having to go to a doctor and get a needle, which is good news. And it has very high effectiveness by comparison to IV vitamin C, and you can take quite a bit of it. So the person I'm working with who's doing the IV vitamin C right now, she's also doing the liposomal and plans to have the liposomal take over for the IVs once she tapers off of those. Liposomal is basically you're repackaging the vitamin C into these little tiny packets that can slip right into your cells. And liposomal delivery of nutrients is getting to be more and more popular. There's a number of nutrients that you can get that way. They do tend to be a little bit more expensive than your average nutrients, but they're much more effective. Now, the good news is you can make your own liposomal vitamin C. And I've put a link on the resources page to a YouTube video. And there's also a book on Amazon. If you go on Amazon and say, make your own liposomal vitamin C, there's a little book of instructions there. So basically, you're taking the vitamin C either as the sodium ascorbate or a buffered ascorbate, or you're taking it as, say, rose hips. I got a recipe from someone who did it with rose hips. And you're mixing it with lecithin. I like to use sunflower lecithin, but some people use soy lecithin. And you're blending it in your blender. And then you're putting it into a ultrasonic jewelry cleaner to give it a spin. And that gets lecithin is a phospholipid, and when you mix that with the vitamin C, they merge together, and then the vitamin C gets carried into the cells in the little fat globules. Really exciting delivery. You can buy them as individual servings. Just do a search on liposomal vitamin C packets, or you can get them in a bottle, and you keep it in the refrigerator after you've opened it. Supposedly, it doesn't have a very long shelf life once it's opened, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 weeks to 4 weeks. So those are the ways that you can get vitamin C into your system. Here's a list of resources I compiled for you. The first one being the Vitamin C book by Dr. Thomas Levy. The second one being the link to the food sources of vitamin C on WH Foods. The third one being the herb and spice sources of vitamin C on thirdage.com. The fourth one is an actual PDF document of a vitamin C protocol, IV protocol, put together by the Riordan Clinic. It's very comprehensive, so if you can find a doctor who would be willing to do this for you, they don't have to think about it, they don't have to do the research if it's not something they generally do. They can read Dr. Riordan's references. And if you go to his page, just the riordanclinic.org, without the research, vitamin C, etc., you'll find lots and lots of information that he has out there. But I wanted to make it easy for you to find that PDF. Vitamin C calibration, there's a document that I've put together, and you can get that there at drritamarie.com/go/vitamin C calibration, vitamin C calibration. And then finally, I've got a link to a YouTube video on how to make liposomal vitamin C. So those are resources. So I've given you lots of ways to incorporate more vitamin C into your diet. I've given you lots of ways to to incorporate more, because there's so many things that it's useful for. I've given you foods and herbs and ideas for vitamin C supplementation, and these resources will help take you deeper. And finally, let's go over a vitamin C action plan for you. So you've got your list of vitamin C-rich foods. Make sure you're eating an abundance of those every day. If you have allergies, low immune functions, or under a lot of stress, or just recovering from surgery or an injury, I would start with a minimum of 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C 3 times a day, and then gradually increase it until you start to see your symptoms resolving. I'd actually love to see you do one of the vitamin C flushes, also called calibration, and I've given you the link on the previous page. And then add the vitamin C-rich herbs and spices to your meals, to your elixirs, to your smoothies, to your salad dressings, wherever they fit, and will make the food taste good, but more importantly, is support your immune system phenomenally.